Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall, and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast, supported by O'Neill. If you're looking for an in-depth insight into the world of downhill and enduro mountain biking, then this is the place to be. O'Neill have been kitting out some of the world's top riders for years, including, of course, Greg Minnaar. I spent most of the last winter using their Legacy pant, which is the same as Greg wears for the Downhill World Cups. I really like riding in pants rather than shorts in the winter, not just because they're warmer, but also because you don't get left with muddy shins for the drive home. I've been impressed at how light and comfortable they are, and they're good in a pretty wide range of temperatures too. They're not waterproof, but I've ridden in them on wet days and they handle it pretty well, taking a lot of water without getting too heavy. You can check out all that O'Neill has to offer by heading to O'Neill.com. Also, O'Neill have generously given us 10 pairs of Legacy pants to give away to lucky listeners. All you need to do to be in with a chance of winning some is to make sure you're on our mailing list before the end of October, and we'll pick 10 of you at random. To join the mailing list, head to downtimepodcast.com/subscribe and you'll find a little form to fill out there. Once you've done that, you'll get an email that you need to open and confirm your subscription, so don't forget to check your junk mail too. We won't spam you with emails either, so no need to worry about that. Please keep telling your friends about the podcast too. It makes a massive difference and I really appreciate it. If you want to help support what we're doing, then you can do that by getting yourself something from our web store at downtimepodcast.com/shop. It's all organic, ethically sourced, shipped without any single-use plastics, and there's free worldwide shipping on all orders over £30. All proceeds will go to help improving the podcast. Okay, this week it's time for a catch-up with the double threat himself, Eddie Masters. Eddie's had an amazing season in both downhill and enduro, taking his first EWS win. We sat down for a catch-up at Hardline to find out more about what he's been up to this season. So, without further ado, here's Eddie Masters.
Eddie Masters, welcome back to the Downtime Podcast, second time around.
I know, yeah. It's almost an annual thing.
Yeah. So we're sat on a rock at Red Bull
Hardline. A rock and a stump.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Hardline so far this year? There's a few tweaks to the course.
I think, so the last time I was here when I competed in it was 2016. And it seems like every year they just iron out a few of the little issues. So like this year the course is... pretty sick. I mean, like, it always blows you away. Like, it is pretty burly, but all the riders are like, there hasn't really been any major injuries, and in the past Hardline's got a bit of a rep for being a bit of a graveyard.
Yeah,
so it's cool. And then Wales has been turning it on. We've had good weather because this track is pretty insane in the dry, but then when it gets wet it's like it gets super gnarly. So everyone's stoked.
Yeah, the riders seem to be having a good time.
Yeah, everyone's real good vibes. It's like getting this reputation is just a real good season wind down, especially for the downhill boys because they've finished for the year.
Yeah.
So like, people are having fun on and off the bike.
Yeah, I spotted that.
Yeah. No, it's wicked.
Good stuff. And how does it feel being a spectator? Like, obviously, you wanted to come here and race, but are you enjoying being a media squid for the weekend?
Yeah, I like it. I just like to keep busy, you know. And, like, I got a pretty bad case of FOMO with watching because, like, I really do enjoy hitting stuff like this. And I was really looking forward to it. But I just make myself useful, get out there with the camera, get some clips for the riders and try and like, yeah, because it's like, there is a bit of coverage, but you're not really, it's not everywhere.
Yeah, true.
So I'm just trying to, got the Ed Bull media house fired up.
Love it.
Yeah. So I don't know if Red Bull is stoked about that, but
It's working.
Yeah, it's sick.
Cool. And you did the course, walk with Elliot out in Snowshoe. What was that like? First kind of big Red Bull camera facing project.
No, it was fun, eh? Like, Elliot's a good friend of mine, so we get on pretty well. And it's sweet. It's hard to snowshoe was hard because I hadn't actually ridden the course and I was just walking it for the first time, and so like you're trying to like put your 10 cents in about technical stuff, but you've not ridden it.
Okay.
Yeah. And you haven't really seen many people ride it either. So it's a bit tricky in that sense, but it was fun to do that with Elliot. And yeah. And like I said, like if I'm injured, I may as well be doing something. Like I'm not someone, that's why I'm here. Cause like, I could go home to winter, but it's just gonna be shitty and raining. I'm just gonna be by myself. So may as well hang out and try and do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But let's talk a little bit about your season, because last time we spoke, I think it was just before New Year.
Yeah.
And you were coming off the back of your ACL reconstruction.
Yeah, I was just a few weeks away from getting back on the bike.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting on the couch with my leg up talking to you.
So, yeah, how was it getting back on? Because you didn't really have, you had a few weeks before the first round of EWS here.
Yeah. So, like, that was my worst result for the year on the EWS. And it was just, like, I felt ready in terms of fitness and stuff, but you just didn't have that. You just weren't sharp when it came to racing. Like, all my runs at Rotorua, like, all my stages kind of felt boring. I wasn't, like, pushing.
Okay.
And then throughout the season, it just kept ramping up where I was just firing up.
Yeah.
But that's just from not racing. Yeah.
So you think that pre-season couple of races there?
Yeah, and just, like, I'm so used to, like, riding my downhill bike as much as my enduro bike, and downhill bike gives you, like, extra speed.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you get used to, like, hitting stuff really fast. So that's something I was lacking. But then it comes back super quick. Yeah, you just need to, like, get against the clock, and you just, you know, it's like a bull seeing red kind of thing. But, yeah, you're just not quite used to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But even so, saying that was your worst result of the year, 14th at an EWS these days against those top dudes, that's a good result.
No, I was stoked. That was, like, the best result that I was over the moon with it. But I just, like, didn't feel like I was racing. I was just kind of, like, going through the motions.
Yeah.
But for that to be my, like, result, coming back off, like, a pretty significant injury, and, like, when people were telling me maybe don't come back so quick, it just put me in a really good headspace, like, with confidence and stuff, I knew. Because there's always doubt. Like, that's one thing I was, like, kind of going through. I was, like, I injured myself. I was going into a surgery off the back of my best season to date, and then you're like, oh, am I going to lose it?
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, always got that little bit of doubt. So to come straight back, straight out swinging was sweet. It's like, yeah, good reminder that you've still got it.
Yeah. So did you feel at that point like, okay, maybe we are going to have a good season and even improve on last year, or are you still kind of feeling your way in?
I was just feeling my way in, but I just wanted to get through those two races healthy, because, like, that each month that you spend recovering, it's like more time into the green zone in terms of, like, a recovery.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I really needed to not wreck myself in those first two races.
But yes.
And then like going into Maribor, I got 16th there, maybe. No,
14th. 14th, yeah.
14th. And that was, like, sick. I'm like, because that's World Cup and that's the highest in terms of, like, racing.
Yeah.
Like, so if you can put down a run early in the season, then I was like, yeah, sweet, we're on for a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, I mean, it didn't take you long, sixth place at Derby as well, so
yeah,
you were pretty quickly working your way back up the ranks and getting into race field.
I keep laughing because he's like, because of how they had to change the results after Martin's stuff, I'm like,
oh, of course, yeah.
So I got 7th and I got 15th at Rotorua. But that was, complete bullshit, so... Yeah, poor Martin.
Yeah, that was a sad thing to see.
So I'd rather still be 7th and 15th.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. We'll keep it like that then.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, and then on to Fort William, top 10 at World Cup.
Yeah, I was stoked because, like, Fort William and I have got a bit of a checkered past, or checkered history.
Oh, yeah, you've had a few.
But I always feel really fast there, and I've, like, but I've just never really put down a good run. So, like, I didn't get the run I wanted at Fort William, but to get 10th is still, like, really cool because, like, top 10 is, that's, like, really good for me. I'm stoked when you're, like, it's not the easiest thing. Yeah.
And winning the internal pivot team battle that
weekend. Yeah, got burned by a thing. And I'd actually sewed my own jerseys up that week because we've all got the same size ones, and on me they just flap around, so I accidentally sewed it, like, too tight, so I, like, needed help getting into it, and beat Bernard by, like, a bee's dick. And and it would have just been, it was just, had he had a tight jersey, it would have been so easy. I was like, oh well,
win some you lose
some. You need to get out there.
Oh man, fair play. So is that, do you think that battle within the team is helping all of you, because Matt's had a good season as well?
Yeah, but we don't really, like, battle. It's weird, like, I'm not, like, a competitive person. Like, I don't really have, like, rivals or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's kind of the nature of the sport. I'm sure like there is like a little bit of an internal like battle in the team, but like not a but then like you just maybe you're like, oh shit, I need to step it up because the other boys are going good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then and you're also like it's like a good confidence booster if you're on you're all on the same setup and if someone can throw it down, it's, there's nothing wrong with the equipment you're on.
True. Yeah. Yeah. It shows the bike's good and everything's
and
in the right
it's
place.
It's been really good for us in that sense this year. Like we've had just we've got everything we ride is top. You know.
Yeah.
Fox, Shimano, Maxxis.
You're on, on pretty, top of the game.
Yeah, we've got really good equipment, which makes in your head that's a big boost too.
Yeah, someone was saying, I think is it the wheel that Cole's using this weekend has been on Matt's bike for like half the season or something, and it's still going.
So this is like a, not even a plug, but it's like Reynolds should be plugging this. But like, yeah, so my wheel from Rotorua EWS.
Oh right, okay.
Because we the wheels on our bikes. The same for the downhill bikes and the trail bikes.
Okay.
Same width and everything.
Yeah.
So we can just swap. All we do is just change the cassette. My wheel from Rotorua EWS has the rim stickers on it, and it was Matt's race run wheel at Snowshoe last year,
last weekend.
So it's like literally done a whole season.
Yeah.
And we're still running them in finals.
Carbon wheels as well.
So everyone is blown away because like it's really good for our mechanics because we don't break wheels. Their workload is like half. Of what other mechanics are. Yeah. So it's pretty cool for us.
Yeah.
And Reynolds should be pushing that.
Well, there you go. We've done that.
Yeah.
Tick.
Yeah.
All right. And then it didn't take much longer for you to get your first EWS victory.
Yeah.
In Lesore.
Yeah.
Talk us a little bit through that weekend from your perspective.
Well, it was a cool venue, like in the high in the French mountains. So you got long descents and stuff, and that always suits me. Well, I don't think it does, but then like in results and stuff, the long stages I seem to do pretty well on.
Yeah.
But I just like the terrain and stuff, and then won the first stage of the day, and so that's like a good omen.
Yeah.
And so I was just like just ticking off the stages and just was still in the running, and then. It's weird because you like, you never know when you're on, but yeah. So I won the second to last stage of the day, and that put me in the lead by maybe 0.4 over Richie.
Man,
and the,
so
like,
tight.
The last stage of the day was only a 2-minute downhill track.
Yeah.
And so like, from my GoPros and like from what I'd like memorized, I knew the whole track.
Yeah.
Which like, so I was like, I'm just gonna do this like a kind of a downhill.
Okay.
Run.
Yeah, short enough that you knew exactly where
I
you
knew
were
exactly
heading.
Where I was going. I knew what was coming up, so I was like, "I'm just going to attack," and because I've got nothing to lose. Like, if I crash, I'm going to come. I'm probably still going to be on the podium.
Yeah.
On a stage like that, unless you like fully end yourself. So I was just like, "Shit, I'm just going to go ham," and just didn't really get sketchy, but just like nailed my run and took the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well,
being serious competition, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the guys
so
in this
cool.
sport now.
Yeah. And like, it's pretty cool. Like me and my brother have both won an EWS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all like Bernard and that had driven up from Andorra through the night. And it was just sweet. So I was stoked. It's something cool that like I'll always remember, but it's not something I expected. And so I just enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and then you backed it up in Whistler, which is, I guess, one of the harder ones to perform at because you got quite a few of the top riders are pretty local.
Mm.
They know the trails. You know, a lot of people have been there before. So,
I just I've done well in Whistler in the past. Like, I got was third there last year. And I was third there this year, and I like the style of trails they have. And it's quite rough, and can be pretty physical, which like pretty good at.
Yeah.
But it's good to just back it up, and then you just like, yeah. It's always sweet to do well in Whistler as well. Yeah, it's good fun.
Good atmosphere.
Yeah, and just like so many of my friends and stuff live there or spend a bit of time there at that time of year. So it's like always it's a big crowd.
Bit of trackside support.
Yeah, so it's cool. But it's pretty satisfying when you can back up. So like I got the win and then I got third. I was like, it wasn't just like a flash in the pan kind of thing.
No, the double threat is real.
Yeah.
Talk us through North Star then a little bit, because first off, it was a it was a gnarly venue, right? The conditions were challenging. I've heard from very, very good riders that they were the most insane rock gardens they've ridden at any event.
Yeah, people were really taken aback by how gnarly it was, because it's like serious rock gardens every stage, like way gnarlier than any of the stuff we ride at downhill. Obviously not at the speed, but you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
And the hard thing for me was, it's like, it was so dusty. And like, normally when I practice EWS, I don't like to stop during the stages. I like to do a whole run if I can.
Yeah.
But there, and so to do that in a normal race, I'd like drop in pretty late in when the stage window's open. And then there's been that many people down it, you can see the main line of the tire tracks.
Yeah.
But there, it was so dry, everything was just the same color. So you couldn't see like a brown snake. So you just had to stop basically every rock garden and find your line. You couldn't see, you couldn't just ride in.
Yeah.
And like Martin Mays likes to practice like that as well, and he was getting real pissed off having to stop, because it's like, yeah. But it was hard, it was, yeah. And a lot of like rocks that are about the size of footballs but are moving.
Oh, okay, so it's changing. So
that's kind of what took me out.
Yeah.
It's like I was just, didn't see, something just grabbed my front wheel when I was just bombing along a straight, and it just flicked me over the bars.
Yeah. And so it was literally just impact.
Yeah. I did like a dislocation in my wrist, but they think that supposedly that only happens when your hands are like closed.
Okay.
So it could have actually even been because of whatever grabbed my front wheel did it pretty aggressively.
Okay.
So they reckon that could have actually dislocated my wrist on the bike.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I just went down pretty hard. But I didn't feel anything like go or anything like that. I tried to hop back on straight away and get back in, but I couldn't like close my hand. Yeah.
Nasty.
But it was just a real shitter because I haven't really had many on the bike injuries like that.
Yeah.
You've actually broken yourself. But I don't like to dwell on things, so I was just like, ah, shit.
Yeah, you can't change it, can you?
No,
once it's done.
Like, that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, but you were in the running for everything. And I was like, yeah, but like, I crashed. Shit happens.
It does, yeah. And he also created one of the grimmest videos on Instagram this year. Yeah. Whatever they were doing, like pinning your arm down and dragging your hand back into place.
Yeah, that wasn't fun, but yeah.
Good medication though?
Well, I didn't have any medication then.
Oh, man.
For that one, and that was pretty painful.
Yeah.
But then they realised that they couldn't get it back in, so they put me on some good meds, and I was enjoying myself after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes life a bit better. It takes the edges off.
They were trying to put me to sleep, but I suppose Wynn was there videoing, and he said I wouldn't. They just couldn't get me to sleep with the dosage that they were meant to give someone.
Right.
And I was just talking shit to them the whole time, and he said they were just losing their shit.
Quality.
Yeah.
So what's the prognosis? You've obviously got your cast on. You've got a little cutout in it. What's that all about?
Oh, I've got like a ultrasound bone stimulator, which is meant to speed up the healing process on bones. So I've just got this little cutout, and I've got like a machine that I plug in for 20 minutes every day.
Yeah. Can you feel anything, or is it just...
Just like ever so slightly tingles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like only right at the end of the 20 minutes do you start feeling like it's like a little clicking kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's just stimulating the bone growth or something.
Yeah. I don't actually know how it works, but from the research and stuff and from people I've talked to, like it does work.
Yeah.
So I was like... You know, for the sake of, I hired it for like $500.
Yeah.
It's money well spent if it's going to increase my chances, because my scaphoid's broken.
Right, okay.
So it's like, the scaphoid's pretty fickle when it comes to healing.
Yeah, but, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. But we're back on board. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, in the past, I've been pretty quick with healing and stuff, so I'm just hoping that'll carry on.
Yeah, you're healthy, right?
Yeah.
So, should be all good.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm going to get back into doing some cardio and stuff next week, because I'll get the blood flowing and just kind of stay fit. It's a bit boring. It's when you go from doing so much exercise and activity to stopping, you're like, I need to do some stuff, eh?
But then, you know, it's good to have a bit of a rest every now and again.
Yeah, but it's been like 2 or 3 weeks now, so I'm starting to get itchy feet.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, what's the time then? Is it going to be based on kind of scans and stuff to check progress?
Yeah, just kind of based on that, because it's like, with scaphoids, it can be, it's pretty much a case-by-case thing, you know. In 6 weeks, mine can be healed.
Okay.
So if I mean, ideally that would be perfect for me.
Yeah.
But I've got like some, not pins, but they're like wires in my hand that are stabilizing everything.
Right.
And so I get those out at 2 months. And my surgeon was like, okay, well, if everything goes to plan at 2 months, you can start rehab. And then,
yeah.
So I'm pretty like, just open-minded with like, it could be a little bit difficult, but it shouldn't be. So yeah.
You're pretty good friends with the Watt bike as well.
Yeah. Like I'll be sweet. I just want to like, ideally if I can be back riding and after Christmas, it's sweet.
Yeah.
And that's lots of time. So I'm not like in a rush.
Yeah.
Because I can, yeah. I guess if I'm out of casts and stuff, I can get on the road bike.
Yeah.
But it'd just be cool to get on the mountain bike a bit earlier than I did last year.
Should be all good. Yeah. So what are you thinking then? Because taking a win, backing it up, you've had 2/3 in Whistler now, you've had other top results at EWS. But then the downhill results are still coming. Like there's the top 10s there as well. Are you ever tempted to like fully focus on EWS, or is it important to you to have both?
It's important for me to have both, because I think that's what like is part of my, I don't know how it all works for me. It's like I use the enduro to be fit for downhill, but then I use the downhill speed to be fast for enduro.
Yeah.
And I still really enjoy it, and like it's really satisfying for me to be able to do well at both. And I'd like to do it for as long as I can. I mean, like, downhill's a lot more, like, stressful with, you know, you've got to be perfectly, you know, everything needs to be perfect.
Yeah.
You've got to turn up for that one run when you need to. Whereas enduro, you've got a bit more breathing space. Like, you can make some mistakes and you know it's not the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
But I just, like, yeah, I mean, I don't really, like, have goals in either. But I still love racing downhill at the highest level, so
yeah.
I'm not really willing to stop. Like, I mean, this year I did five World Cups, and I would have done the full EWS.
Yeah.
And like, if I can keep doing like a kind of a schedule like that,
yeah.
While it's pretty busy, like I don't go home during the season, so it means I'm keeping busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd just like to keep doing what I'm doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
And do you think an EWS overall challenge is on the cards?
I don't really know, because I don't like I don't really like think about results like that, or like plan results, because I don't, when people are like I mean, if I wanted to win an EWS overall, I'd be like, oh sweet, I'll just go and win every race and then you're guaranteed to do it. Yeah. But like, that's obviously easier said than done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just like, just like, if you're in the position to win like a championship, well, you'll know if you've done it or not at the finish line of the last race.
Yeah.
But up until then, it doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's the kind of way I do it. So that's why I always just say, I just treat every race the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you see the...
And only until it's all run and done, then you can talk about overall.
Yeah, because a lot of the riders, certainly in the downhill side, that have been in the run for the overall this year, you could see the stress build on them round by round, like especially for Tracy. I think Loic as well, probably, like there's a lot of pressure on him, whereas I guess with your approach it's a bit more
but then chilled. Like it was real cool to see Loic deliver. I did not envy being in his position. but he did it, which is pretty cool, because that would like him dropping in after Amaury throwing down that time that he did in snowshoe, I thought, like
it looked like he
had
it, done,
it looked like it? He had his work cut out for him, but he did exactly what he needed to, and that's pretty, like, to be able to deliver that under that pressure, it's pretty impressive.
Definitely.
So a lot of respect for that.
It's been a good season as a super fan.
It's been awesome. Like, I was loving being in snowshoe and watching all that, like and then being at the finish line and like Danny winning, which was really cool.
Yeah, it kind of got a little bit...
I mean, it got overshadowed by the title race, but then, you know, it's just like he hasn't won a race in 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a little while, hasn't it? Yeah. And then he qualified fastest at the last three rounds, I think.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
so to
finish it. And,
And, like, I get on really well with Danny. And it's just, it was pretty cool for for him to do that.
Yeah. So next year is going to be an interesting one in men's and women's downhill. I think, well, and in EWS as well. There's so many top riders now.
It's crazy. And it's like downhill, you're like, you've got 40 top 20 guys.
Yeah.
And you know, next year you've got like Deprella, people like that who on paper from their junior results, I mean, it's not always the same, but like he probably, like on paper, he just transfer into his top 20 overall.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a bit more stressful in the men's with the pressure and stuff. Uh-huh. And yeah. But there's always just these new guys and no one else is leaving.
Yeah. No, yeah, Greg's like still clinging on and smashing it.
Yeah. It's not like a add two, take two policy.
One in, one out.
Nah.
So what, as a rider, have you felt the competitiveness of the sport like increase over the years? Is it harder to get the results, do you think?
Yeah. It's just like the equipment and the stuff is so good now. Like I think with the suspension and stuff, if you've got good suspension, brakes and tires,
yeah.
You can make to a T, make any like frame or chassis work. Because you can do everything so tunable and so that levels things out, and then it's just people, the tracks are faster. Everyone's like, oh, I'd fail to soul, you know, it's like tech, but at the finish line, no one's putting 10 seconds into second place. It's like point something. And it's just happening at every course, so it is crazy competitive, but that makes everyone up their game. So it just gets even more competitive.
Yeah, the amount of races I've watched this year where you're like, that's an insane time, surely that's not beatable. Mm. And then someone will come and put 2 seconds into it. It's like, where's that coming from?
Unreal. No, it's crazy, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's but I think that's cool because it means like means you have to put in more effort or look at what you're doing through a bit of a magnifying glass and see if there's any. And that's why, like, I appreciate, like, the work that, like while I'm not prepared to go to the extent that they do, I can appreciate the work that Loic and, you know, the top boys are doing behind the scenes, just on, like, marginal gains. You know, you look at Loic's bike and all the telemetry and stuff, like, they are literally going through it with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah,
and they're finding point one, point two time elsewhere. And I think that's what you've got to do.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's a big commitment as well.
Budget, time, effort.
Yeah. And just like, for me, it's like I'm pretty content if I can get a top 10. You know, I might never win a World Cup. I might never get a World Cup podium. But if like I wanted to go from where I am now to try and get the consistency and I think maybe it would take away from the fun for me.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I'm pretty happy with like how I approach a race, but I think for me to get, if you wanted to jump into another level, then you've got to look for like, I always say marginal gains, but it's like look for the tiny seconds,
lots of little things.
Yeah.
So, is there anything that you particularly, other than fixing your wrist, want to work on in the off season, or are you pretty happy with like you've had a solid year? So.
I don't know. Like, I always like to think that I'd like to go more technical with my training, but then I think at the same time, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole and just get, like, consumed by it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. Nah, not really. I just, because it's, I don't feel like I've got, like, a weakness in terms of, like, riding that I need to work on. But keep riding.
Keep having fun.
Yeah.
Nice one.
It's like hard because you like don't want to like, if you're doing well, you don't want to change things, but then you don't want to do the same things the whole time.
Yeah.
Because then you can just get over it or get a bit complacent. Yeah. But no big plans. Last year I did a fair bit of work on the road to start the season. I really enjoyed that. It put me on like a good base.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do that again. Like, I hadn't been doing that in the past. And then, just keep lapping on my downhill bike and climbing on my enduro bike.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. Well, we should let you get on with your work for Ed Bull Media House.
Yeah, yeah. I was flat out, mate. The phone's been ringing off the hook.
Nice one. Yeah. We've got one more question that we added to the end of our episodes when we got to 100, and that is, what do you do every day that you think benefits you?
Oh, these are hard because you're always on the spot.
Yeah, man. We've got you.
I have a shower and use soap.
Soap?
Yeah.
From an environmental perspective?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it just means I'm clean.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just a big fan of soap.
Yeah, so, and I think it like, well, I just like body wash, whatever. But I think it really helps because A, I'm clean, and then for the rest of the people, I'm not smelly.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Solid advice.
Yeah. I brush my teeth as well.
Happy days. Yeah. You look after yourself.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good luck with the recovery.
Cheers, dude.
Cheers.
All right, that's it for this episode with Eddie Masters. I hope you enjoyed listening. Massive thanks to O'Neill for supporting the podcast. Head to O'Neill.com and check out what they've got to offer. And to be in with a chance of winning one of 10 pairs of Legacy pants, join our mailing list before the end of October by heading to downtimepodcast.com/subscribe. If you've got a couple of minutes, then please leave us a review wherever it is that you listen to the podcast. Give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast. And make sure you subscribe to the show so that you get all of our episodes delivered straight to your device. If you want to help support what we're doing, then you can get yourself some exclusive Downtime Podcast goodies by heading to downtimepodcast.com/shop. All right, there's going to be another awesome episode coming up soon, but until then, get out and ride.